Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome one and all to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good news, bad news, crazy news for conservatives today. And Jim, let's start with the good news. And this was our good news yesterday, too, focusing specifically on Prime Minister Netanyahu and his clarity of speech in response to the president's muddled message, but pretty dicey for Israel last week in its Middle East speech. The good news today is just the incredible congressional reaction that he got in his speech to the joint session yesterday, and really from both parties. You could hear like a smattering of applause every time he mentioned something that the Palestinians deserved, but every time he talked about Israeli security, Israeli democracy, the need for Palestine to recognize the need for a Jewish state, huge rousing cheers and standing ovations. A couple of times you could see Joe Biden had to stay seated because he would have been contradicting his own boss if he didn't. But the idea that we actually have bipartisan unity on something, especially on something as critical as security in the Middle East, is great.
It's also worth noting, Greg, that this is bipartisan unity in opposition to the president, which
right.
is what's really kind of striking about this. I think the comment that jumps out at me, Robert Andrews quoted as saying that Obama is tilting towards Hamas and that a majority of the Congress disagrees with Obama. You don't hear that from the likes of Robert Andrews at the in this day and age. Two points kind of jump out at me from this. One is the entire notion of how the Middle East is discussed in Washington feels to me like light years from the way it's discussed, to the extent that it is discussed out beyond the Beltway. And I think one of the things that jumped out at me, and I wrote about this a little bit on the campaign spot this morning, was Dana Milbank, a columnist for The Washington Post, watched Bibi's speech with his Israeli nanny, basically. Or his daughter's nanny, I should emphasize. I don't know if Dana Milbank needs a nanny. I'm sure his critics probably would say there are some days he writes like that, and it does seem like he needs someone. But anyway, but she is described as a not terribly pro-Netanyahu Israeli voter, but who is now completely driven into his arms and is, livid over what Obama has done. And his conclusion is, well, this is why Obama's speech was such a blunder. By pushing an Israeli moderate such as Inna into the arms of Netanyahu, Obama has strengthened the hardliners. And I'm just kind of struck by the language of it, which is that if everybody in Congress and most of America and certainly all the Israelis agree with the policy, is it really that much of a hardline position?
Right.
Who's the extremist here? Who's the one who's out of the mainstream? And apparently, it's an otherwise, pretty good column for Milbank, but he kind of never really crosses his mind that maybe Obama has just completely botched this issue and put forward an idea that just isn't realistic about the security needs of Israel, and that's why everybody's reacting so strongly to it. That certainly is, the perspective I have, that I think Obama deep down never really got this, got it in his bones, the degree to which the Israelis have to live with the fear of being surrounded by enemies who want to kill all of them, and thus they're not really all that interested in making a 50-50 compromise. So again, anytime Obama is wildly out of step with public opinion, and even in public opinion in the Democrats, we saw Harry Reid making some critical comments. That is, one way or another, going to end up being advantageous to opponents and critics of the president.
Oh, absolutely true. And I think the president, while not maybe understanding why he's wrong, understands that most people don't agree with him. And you could see him trying to a little bit walk back his position at the AIPAC speech that he made on Sunday night, essentially saying, well, it's going to be land swaps. The borders won't be exactly like they were in 1967. So trying to wheeze a lot of it and spending most of his time at AIPAC, which is obviously very pro-Israel, talking about the need to preserve and defend Israeli security. So I think he's starting to get it a little bit, but I don't think it's going to result in a major policy shift on his part because he's so entrenched on this one and entrenched on the wrong side, unfortunately. As you mentioned yesterday, it would be nice to think that this could mean a little bit of a swing in the Jewish vote towards someone running against President Obama next year, but at this point it's probably not smart to bet on that. Speaking of not betting on folks voting against President Obama, let's move to martini number two now and the disappointing results from New York's special election in the 26th Congressional District on Tuesday night. This was the race to replace Christopher Lee, the shirtless Craigslist wonder who had to resign earlier this year. Longtime Republican district, and it looked like the Republican Jane Corwin was in pretty good shape until a few weeks ago. The Democrats hammering her for supporting the Ryan plan on Medicare reform and budget cuts. There's also, and the Democrats won't admit this as a factor, but kind of a Trojan horse Tea Party candidate in this race, mm-hmm. a guy who ran as a Democrat multiple times in the past and now ran as a Tea Party candidate, got 9% of the vote, and clearly that would have made the difference. Bad news here, not only did the Democrats pick up the seat, not only have they potentially, at least on some level, successfully demagogued the Ryan issue, and even Ryan seems to agree with that this morning, but Jim, you and I have said time and time again, this is up to the American people to decide if they really are serious about getting our fiscal house in order. And in a relatively Republican district, the fact that this line by the Democrats was bought, at least to the extent that a Democrat could win in a three-way race, not very encouraging.
Yeah, you laid out all this appropriately. There's certain caveats. A three-way race makes it tough. Obviously, the New York Republican Party is a moribund and perpetually troubled party. It's now gotten to the point where a special House election in upstate New York, not going to the Republicans, it's really now more of a tradition. We've seen three of them since 2009. But in the end of it, look, I mean, clearly the Democrats got somewhere by demonizing Ryan, demonizing the Ryan plan, and saying Republicans are going to take away your Medicare. So Republicans need a good counter argument. And you know, obviously this is already fueling the narrative. I saw in Politico that, well, the argument over the size of government has changed. Democrats have found the magic formula, and it's Medicare. Well, Medicare is not a synonym for big government. So it's one of those things where Republicans need to emphasize two things. The first is that a Democrat who says, oh, I'll protect Medicare, generally is, you know, anti any serious spending cuts and really generally anti any serious reforms of any of these programs at all. And the second thing is, and there's some very ominous poll numbers on this indicating that Americans aren't yet convinced any entitlement programs really have to be changed in order to get our fiscal house in order. And so, you know, this is a salesmanship job. This is a matter of telling people a message they don't want to hear. No one ever said this was going to be easy. If it was easy, it would have been done before. But it's all the more necessary. And as I was saying to a couple other folks online earlier today, look, if we cannot dislodge the American people from the notion that the entitlements have to change, then we're doomed. And when I say we, I mean Republicans are doomed, and I mean we as in the country are doomed, because it means that it will always be easier to kick the can down the road until we just flat out run out of road.
That's absolutely right. And so now we're going to find out in the Republican primary for president and obviously in the many debates to come. Fortunately, there's a lot of time to come here. We'll see how the debt ceiling debate plays out, how the first phase of the Ryan budget plays out here in the House and Senate. And it's going to be very interesting whether or not Republicans can make the case, like you mentioned, that this is absolutely necessary, although not pleasant, because what they should be saying is it's going to get a whole lot more unpleasant if we do nothing, which is clearly what the Democrats' plan is right now, because they've offered no substantive alternative. On to the crazy martini now, and we could call this perhaps the anti-Garrity initiative launched by the Obama White House, and literally from the White House, folks, so you're paying for this, and that is this rapid response team to negative stories online about the president. So my guess is they're going to have to hire more than one person for this, because the blogosphere is essentially where most people finally have a forum to explain why the president is so wrong on so many things. And Jim, I'll leave the floor to you, because obviously the White House response team could be engaging you soon.
You know, Greg, it's no surprise to me. I'm used to seeing Democrats and folks in the opposition follow my Twitter feed. This is the first time I've had my Twitter feed followed in an unmarked car. It's very strange. I feel there's this drone hovering outside my house since yesterday. I don't understand what that's all about. It's worth noting the reason I use that metaphor is that this guy Lee, the first post on his Twitter feed was that of a Terminator, the killer robot from the movie series. Nothing intimidating about that. Nothing ominous. Nothing Orwellian. No, relax. You know, we're in the very best of hands. Look, obviously, you know, I'm glad to see the White House finally is devoting White House resources in a salaried position to the national crisis of the president not getting enough good press. I'm sure all Americans can unite in saying that's money well spent. The second thing is that more than a few Bush folks I'd spoken to were kind of like, you know, this rapid response traditionally is done by the DNC, traditionally done by the presidential campaign. The idea of having somebody in the White House to do this is very unusual, and they think may run afoul of the Hatch Act, which bans explicitly political activities by government employees, or at the very least is supposed to ban political activities on company time or on the taxpayer's dime. We'll see if anything comes out of this. I think it just kind of further indicates that this is what the Obama White House strategy is, which is to push back against everything. I can't wait until they start the demonization campaign against the debt clock, saying that this is further, you know, misinformation against the president, and use the enormous financial advantage that they plan to have to just demolish the opposition. I said in the Morning Jolt that, looks, you know, the Terminator metaphor fits, because clearly the MO of the Obama campaign in 2012 is going to be scorched earth. They don't have a good record to run on. Clearly hope and change has largely evaporated against except amongst the most diehard Democrats. So what's left? Well, you destroy the opposition by demonizing them and making them so bad. And this, you know, the Cyber Terminator blogger initiative is clearly part of that.
No, that's absolutely right. And be very interesting to see what they do with some of these websites. I think National Review is probably going to be safe, but we've seen the Justice Department already just kind of randomly go after some of these gaming sites. I don't know how big of a stretch it would be for them to go after some other sites that they don't like. I think that would be met with a huge outcry. But, you know, with these people,
I don't know. Greg, just imagine if the White House Communications Office had appointed a special person to deal with, say, demonizing Assad in Syria. But no, it's not priority. Let's go after, you know, conservative bloggers. They're the real enemy, yada, yada, yada.
Well, he said as much in the campaign video for the midterm elections. You know, our enemies are blocking all sorts of things. So we'll find out. Jim, I hope you're still online tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then.
If you hear a giant robot crushing me next time, you'll understand that they got to me.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.